everyone. Welcome to No Smut Shaming. I'm Crystal.
And I'm Kristen.
And we're here to discuss all your favorite romance reads.
And all the dirty details.
This week we'll be talking about Christina Lauren's book, In a Holidays.
But first, how was your week?
So, I was unable to finish this book because I made the bad decision of starting a book that has a lot of controversy attached to it.
Yeah.
And the book is called 56. And so...
And you knew going into it.
I did. And... It for me, it's just like a car accident. You can't like not.
Because the author even said, yeah, like, don't read this book if you're not cool
with
this stuff.
And then there's apparently like a million different triggers. Like if this triggers you or this triggers you, you should not read this book.
But then Crystal was like,
and I'm like,
gonna read it.
I'm gonna read this book. And so the reason the book has so much controversy is because it's the biggest age gap that most people have ever seen in a book. The age gap is 38 years. She's 18 and he's 56.
That's crazy.
And granted, the male model that she used to promote this
book—he
is dreamy as hell.
Wow, what a silver fox!
Beautiful silver fox.
Yes,
but she's 18.
You were grossed out.
I was so grossed out. And it's not even just like they were in a relationship. Like this was a very like aggressive fetish kind of book. I would say, and if you're planning on reading this, I would just like not listen to this part. The things that they do, there's so much choking that happens in this book. And it's not like a little like, ooh, a little choke. It's like forearm into the throat. Like she's about to pass out.
You
and
are very
passionate. He finally lets up like as soon, like just right before she's about to be like, you know? And so I'm like, oh my gosh. And then the part where I almost stopped reading is... Yeah. I don't even know how to... He pees in her mouth. I mean, there's no subtle way to put that. I mean, he's just like, open up.
And
so
God.
She's like on her hands and knees and she opens up and he just like whizzes in her mouth like a toilet. And I'm like... I just,
sexy.
Yeah. And it's not like she just drinks it all. It's like it's coming down like her face, down her body. And I'm like,
ugh. But
and
then he's turned on by it.
I guess. I mean, at first, I think he was just seeing if she'd do it. And then he was still turned on because there's like nothing this girl will not do. Keep in mind, this is her dad's friend.
Oof.
There's so many unbelievable aspects to this book. One being her dad is okay with it. Her dad is
totally fine.
He's like, they're adults. I'm like, no.
18.
She's a child. I'm sorry. I get that legally she's an adult. But you remember what you were like at 18? Like, are you making sound decisions all the time? No. So that's what took up a lot of my time.
Yeah.
I was jarred by this book.
The messages I would get from you as you were reading it were hilarious. You were emotionally scarred from this book.
Right. I'm like, what are you going to do when he's 66 or 76 and you're like in the prime of your life? I'm like, you're going to be wheeling his ass to a retirement home or a nursing home maybe. I don't know.
This didn't do it for you.
No. And then there was just so, like, this was not a romance book to me.
Yeah.
I'll be honest. I felt like this was more like erotica or like a fetish. There was no swoon going on in this book. He wasn't like,
let me take care of you, baby girl.
Yeah.
Call me daddy.
And she calls him daddy a lot. She's like, ooh, daddy. And I'm like,
ugh. Like, you actually be your father.
Your actual dad is downstairs. Oh my gosh. I'm just saying, if you want something that's like, if you're into that, this book is right up your alley.
Yeah.
But if you're more of a romance, traditional romance, don't read this book. You're gonna be scarred. Any questions? What would your dad do if you started dating one of his friends
when
you were 18?
Oh, he would have murdered his friend.
Would he have straight up murdered him, right?
My dad would never be like, oh, well, I'll let you make your own decisions.
Right.
No.
No.
Never.
Right. I feel like that is the normal response. Not in this book.
Dad's like, he's a good guy. You're an adult. Very progressive.
No, it's not progressive. I'm sorry. I just can't. I can't. Like... if it's a consensual relationship with two age-appropriate people, if that's the weird things they want to do, no smut shaming here.
Anyways, my week, I got a fun haircut.
You did. It's really cute.
Thank you. Yeah. I did the post-wedding chip chop, and I feel all light and bouncy over here now.
You're ready for 2021.
Oh, yeah. I'm feeling like new hair, new me.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
This old married hag over here just jumping it up.
Okay.
But like I was saying, mm-hmm. this week we read In a Holidays by Christina Loren. Mm-hmm. This is a 3.86 on Goodreads, and it came out just a month ago. And sometimes I feel like Christina Loren books are hit or miss for me. It's interesting because all of their books, I think, are different. They don't follow the same format or give off the same feelings as the rest of the books. They're all different for me. Mm-hmm. So I was interested in this book when I saw it. And also, I feel like everybody's read it. Mm-hmm. And I feel like everybody's loved it too. So I definitely wanted to see what all the fuss was about.
So a quick little book summary is May is stuck in a rut. She's at a dead-end job. She's living at home. Her crush will never notice her. And now she finds out that this will be the last Christmas her family will ever spend at their favorite cabin. But one simple wish to the universe has May reliving their last Christmas over and over again until she can figure out what choices she should make to lead her to happiness or maybe even love. Let's get into it.
So we start with May in a panic in the early morning hours of December 26th. She's in a panic and needs to talk to her longtime friend who's almost like an uncle. Mm-hmm. His name is Benny. So she's sneaking through the house to get to Benny's room. It sounds like there's a big group of close friends who stay together every Christmas in this cabin. And it turns out that it ends up being really her parents' group of friends mm-hmm. and then their children who are also her age. So she goes and wakes up Benny and tells him that last night, in an eggnog-induced drunken state, she made out with Theo. Theo is someone who has been in her life since birth. They were born 2 weeks apart and their parents are best friends. So they've been friends since they were kids. Mm-hmm. But the twist is, May has been in love with Theo's older brother, Andrew, and has been trying to get over those feelings for a while. And also, it turns out that the makeout with Theo was so bad. She says he was, like, licking her face.
It sounded like he'd never done this before.
But on the contrary, because he's kind of a man whore. Mm-hmm. But he was just, like, slobbering all
teeth
over her.
Clicking, like...
It was bad. Yeah. And Benny's shocked to hear that her and Theo made out because Benny knows that she's always loved Andrew. And
the most invested uncle ever.
Right. And Benny also tells her that maybe this is a sign that she really does need to move on from her feelings that she has for Andrew. Mm-hmm. But he also says that she needs to talk it out with Theo and not just brush it under the rug, because they do get together every year. Their families right. are very much intertwined.
And then after this awkward makeout, like, she just bolts.
Yeah. So May's like, okay.
Maybe that's why he was a dick.
But she goes to the kitchen and she finds Theo there with a bowl of cereal, and she's nervous to bring it up, but she forces herself to be like, so about last night. But he cuts her off and is like,
and honestly, that's how I picture you would do it. So about last night.
About last night.
With an eye roll and a flip of the hair.
Not a big deal, but. But Theo cuts her off and is like, it didn't mean anything, May. I knew you'd make a big deal about this. Mm. Like, he was such a brat about it.
Right.
And before she can even respond, somebody else walks into the kitchen and kind of ends their conversation. So May grabs her coffee and goes to sit outside, hoping that Theo, like, takes the hint and follows her out there to finish their conversation. But no such luck. Instead, she looks up and sees Andrew. Mm-hmm. And Andrew makes a joke about her and Theo and tells her he saw them making out last night.
Ooh.
And she's mortified. He also is just like, it's no big deal, and gives her a noogie, which is like equally embarrassing and upsetting. Because it means he clearly doesn't have feelings for you.
Right.
Anybody who gives you
a noogie
is just like, nah, he will never see my penis.
Yeah,
like that's like, this will never happen.
Right.
And so he laughs about it and just like leaves her alone in mm-hmm. her misery. So the whole gang is now sitting around a large table for breakfast. It's their last morning together until they all just return to their normal lives across the country. Someone makes a comment about there being a weird vibe in the room, and May panics because she assumes like it's going to come up that her and Theo made out the previous night.
Right.
But it turns out that the couple who owns the cabin, that's part of their group, and they've been gathering at this place for nearly 30 years, mm-hmm. but the cabin's kind of falling apart now. And they've decided to sell the cabin. Everybody's so upset. I mean, May is now in the car on the way back to the airport with her brother and her parents. And the mood is sad. I mean, the mom is crying.
Like, she lost a puppy sort of crying.
She's like sobbing in the front seat. Her parents are also divorced, but mm-hmm. they come together for Christmas each year, which is kind of cool. Her dad's just quiet. And everyone's just really upset that this was their last Christmas in the cabin. And they didn't really know it was going to be their last Christmas. Mm-hmm. And this just kind of gets May thinking about her life. And she feels like she's in a rut. She doesn't like her job. She's living at home again. And she kissed Theo, which is weird. Ugh. She still is in love with Andrew. So she like rolls her head back and just makes a simple wish to the universe. And she just says, can you show me what would make me happy?
Quick question.
Yeah.
So she sees Andrew and Theo once a year, right?
Yeah.
Do you think you could be in love with somebody you only see once a year?
I think if your crush started young, yeah.
Really?
I think if you're like 12 and you're like, wow, he's really cute, then every year you're just reminded how fun and cute they are. I think every year it would come back.
Okay.
Would you think about them throughout the year? Maybe not.
Mm-hmm.
But I can see how those feelings would come back when you're like back in that same environment.
Okay.
You don't, which is fine.
I just think that if it happened when you're a child, eventually as an adult, you just realize like logically, yeah, you just talk yourself out of it.
Yeah.
But it sounds like every year she's just like, ugh, you know,
every
Andrew.
Year she's more into it, right, than the previous year. But yeah, so she makes this wish to the universe for the universe to show her what would make her happy.
Mm-hmm.
And then a second later, their car is hit from the side and she hears the crunch. And everything goes
black.
The
universe is like, nothing.
And then she jolts awake and is like scrambling and flailing. Like if you have a dream, like you're falling off a skateboard.
Yeah.
And she reaches out to her brother and she is confused because she hits him on one side, but she was like in the car. He was on the other side. And she asks him about the car accident. And he's just like, you're crazy. What are you talking about? And then she realizes they're on an airplane. She checks her phone and the date is December 20th. But she swears this morning was the 26th.
Mm-hmm.
And so she's frazzled and her family thinks she had a weird dream, but it definitely did not feel like a dream to her.
Right.
And so she's just not sure what to think at all. So the plane lands. She's like moving slow throughout the airport, just like feeling in a constant state of deja vu. And she sees every little thing happen and she knows she's seen it before. And her family can tell she's acting strange, but they're also just like more annoyed that she's so slow today. She's mm-hmm. just like crawling through the airport. And she starts to wonder like, am I in a coma from the accident? Like what is possibly happening? So they pull up to the cabin and everyone runs out to greet them. And after seeing some specific things take place, she starts to lose it.
Mm-hmm.
Starts to lose her mind because she sees like her dad pick up the same cookie and break his tooth and
right.
the same kid scratch her knee.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, I know that I've seen this before. And so she runs back outside to get some air and she's kind of frantic. She's like, I've traveled back in time.
Right.
She ends up getting Benny alone and she's like, I know this sounds crazy, but I've lived this Christmas already. And he's actually kind of open-minded about the whole thing. She tells him the whole story, but he's like, I feel like I should be high for this conversation.
And she was saying how the last time they spoke after her and Theo kissed, he was a lot more helpful. And he's like, was I high? And she's like, yeah.
He's like, I'll be right back. And he like pops something and comes back to listen to the story. And at the end, he's still just kind of like, maybe you have a head injury.
Right. Because that is more logical than time traveling.
You are right. And so she's on the way down from Benny's room in the attic, but she misses a step and she falls forward and she wakes up screaming and flailing, trying to catch a banister.
Mm-hmm.
But instead she smacks her brother in the face and she realizes she's back on the airplane.
Oh my gosh.
Again.
Straight up Groundhog Day.
She's lived the whole thing again and now she's back to explaining things to Benny for a second time.
Mm-hmm.
But like now it's the second time for her, but to Benny it's the first time again.
Mm-hmm.
Because time travel. So this time she's faster on explaining things and
details. I can't wait to find like some time travel music to put here.
Ooh, time travel. And she rehashes the details out to Benny and she convinces him easier this time because now she can quickly list off the next events that are about to happen. So she lists them all off. He watches them happen and he's like,
whoa,
whoa. And his advice is just to be like, go with the flow. See what happens. I don't know.
Is he high?
And her goal now is just to like make it further than she did last time.
Wouldn't it be awful if you just relive the same little few hours over and over again?
So
oh my
she's
gosh.
Like, I
on
wanna,
a plane?
She's like, I just want to make it to tomorrow. And she wakes up in the dark, checks her phone, December 21st.
Mm-hmm.
She's made it.
One more
through
day.
The night, mm-hmm. another day. But she's now racking her brain trying to figure out why. Like, why has the universe sent her back to relive this?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what is she here to try to accomplish? She makes a guess that maybe since the wish she made in the car right before the accident was about finding what makes her happy, maybe she was sent back to save the cabin.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's her destiny to help save the cabin so they don't sell it. They can keep coming back in
maybe.
Future years.
Yeah.
She's not sure.
Sure, nothing makes sense right now.
She has no idea what's going on. So she decides tries to try to get people on board with fixing up the cabin to try to save it, even though they have no idea it's about to be sold. And she's trying to act like it's her first time living this scenario, but she does slip up once. So Andrew comes in all cold that morning because he's been sleeping in the boathouse and there isn't any heat out there. And she brings up that he should get out the old sleeping bags in the basement. And everyone looks at her like, how did you remember those were in there? And she's like, oh, somebody found them 4 days from now, the first time by accident. And they're like, how did you ever remember those were down there? She was like, oh, just a hunch. Like,
just a little sorcery.
just a little time travel. No big deal. So later that day, they have their annual snow creature building contest where they split into teams of two and create various animals out of snow, kind of like a snowman contest, but they just do different animals. And the winning team gets to pick dinner. So May remembers that the first time this happened this year, it ended with a fight between Andrew and Theo and it kind of ruined the mood for the day. She's decided to make this time different and better. She's like, if they have more fun, maybe they'll remember why we come here. So her goal is to use what she remembers from last time to her and Andrew's advantage because they're a team together. So they can win the competition and pick a good meal for everybody that night. She's like, that's what's gonna do it. All is going according to plan when an unexpected snowball fight breaks out and everyone is having fun. But she's freaking out because, like, she thinks they have to uphold all these traditions to be happy. They've never had a snowball fight during this contest. So she's trying to break up the fun. Everyone's out having a great time and she's like,
not on my watch.
she tries to stop it because she again thinks that if they break tradition they can't save the cabin. While everyone is having a great time and she's trying to stop them all from having fun, a branch above her buckles under the weight of the snow and plunges down on top of her, and she wakes up again on the airplane. And this time she wakes up like you, she is over it. Her annoyance level is at 100. She is so sick of living the same day over and over again.
Right.
And she's out of patience and people can tell something's wrong with her. She's also no longer letting things play out like they did. Anytime she knows that someone's going to be hurt or inconvenienced, she quickly is like, don't eat that cookie. Watch out for that dog. That step is loose. Like, she's not holding back because she thinks, like, I'm just going to do it again. Like,
what would you do though if someone that you were around for Christmas or whatever, and they're just like naming all the events that are about to happen, would you not be like, what's going on?
I would commit them. Yeah.
But what if they got it all right?
It's weird.
Well, of course it's weird, but if they get it all right.
Well, at this point, she's not like saying what's going to happen and then it happens. She's just preventing it from happening now.
Oh, okay.
So she knows her dad will break a tooth on a cookie. So she just goes, don't eat those cookies. And he doesn't. And he doesn't break a tooth. Or one of the kids keeps falling over and scraping her knee when a dog comes out. So she just goes, watch out for the dog. So she's preventing things, but not in an overly obvious way that she knows what exactly is going to happen.
Okay.
And at this point, because she is out of patience, she's also just going with more honesty about her feelings, specifically with Andrew. She's like, hey, I care about you. Don't want you to be cold. Let's get the old sleeping bags out before you sleep in the boathouse. And he's like, how do you know all this? And she just keeps saying, just a hunch. To every scenario. Her honesty to him about her saying, oh, I care about you, has him kind of looking at her a little bit differently. And she can kind of tell he's checking out her lips. He's like, eyes down on the lips. Like, he's like checking her out. She can tell. So through the rest of the morning, May just kind of has a bit of an attitude still. And I kind of like it. And you know who else likes it?
Andrew.
He's always surprised when she just answers things so straightforward, and he's into it. The next day, they move on to the snow animal competition again, and her and Andrew's monkey, they're making this coming along great, but she stops and realizes that a snowball fight hasn't broken out like last time. But she also realizes that nobody is talking. Everyone just looks like robots just going through the motions. And she remembers how much fun they were having during the snowball fight that she realizes, like, I shouldn't have tried to stop the fun.
Right.
I should have just let the fun happen. So this time she decides to start the snowball fight. And it does end up like really fun and carefree and everybody loves it.
I like how you put an exclamation point at the end of that.
She decides to start the snowball fight.
What?
Hey! Now, traditionally, it would be the time for May's dad to go to the Christmas tree farm and pick out the family tree. But since she figures that she's just doing what she wants to do this go-round, and it's kind of worked for her so far, she's made it further along she decides to ask Andrew if he would like to go with her instead so the two of them can pick out a tree. So he says yes.
Girl, making it happen.
Yep. The two of them are walking around the Christmas tree farm and just kind of talking and catching up. They talk about how even though they like their traditions, it's kind of nice to shake things up sometimes, yeah. Do something different. And she also starts to ask about the cabin because it's his parents who own it. And she's like, how much work does the cabin really need? And he's honest and it's just like, it needs a lot of work. It needs a new roof. It needs new everything. It's just old. Mm-hmm. Through their talking, May can tell that Andrew is looking at her differently. Almost like he's like seeing her for the first time. During this shopping excursion, she also sends an email to her boss quitting her job because she hates her job. And at this point, she's just like, fuck it. Like, I could go back in time again and it won't even count. And she has more confidence to go after what she wants this time around.
Yeah, when you have so many do-overs, I guess you would.
Yeah, for sure. At one point, since she's on this whole honesty train, she also tells Andrew straight up that she wants him. Mm-hmm. Like that. She's like, I want you.
Oh.
In a sexy way. And he stops and is like, but I thought you and Theo, everybody thought her and Theo were eventually going to get together. And she's like, no, it's always been you. And she even is like, but we can pretend I didn't say that just to like not make things awkward. But you should know that's where I'm at. And he's just kind of perplexed and standing there. So she tugs on his arm and is like, it's fine. Let's go pick out a tree. Like, she's very cool about the whole thing. And they ultimately decide on a tree that is not physically perfect just because she's like, let's switch it up. Let's get a sad little tree instead. And that evening, everyone is together and decorating the misfit tree. And everybody actually loves this kind of sad little tree. Mm-hmm. And everyone participates in decorating and grows to love the little guy, the little tree. Oh my God. It's kind of sweet. And May is sitting there deep in thought about how she handled this night the first time around. And the first time around, she ended up sitting with Theo and they got into this deep Instagram hole. And she kind of missed the whole magic that is this night because she was just engulfed in that. And so she decides to kind of crawl under the tree a little bit and look up at it from the bottom. She can see all the lights and ornaments and she just feels at peace. And she also feels someone join her under the tree and it's Andrew.
Well, that's kind of cute.
Yeah. And they're just chatting about things until she gets a text and it's from Theo. And Theo's like, what are you doing under there? Come hang out with me. And Andrew awkwardly is like, so earlier when we had that conversation about feelings at the Christmas tree farm and I asked about you and Theo, since I assumed there was something between the two of you, is it possible Theo also thinks there's something between the two of you?
Wow. Very insightful.
Yeah, she honestly is like not really sure what to say to that because it had never crossed her mind. She's never felt that way about Theo and she always assumed he had never felt that way about her. Andrew tells her that he was always worried that if she ever got with his brother because he thought she'd get hurt because sounds like Theo's a bit of a player. Mm. Like different girl every weekend. Mm-hmm. Andrew also tells her that he does appreciate what she said to him earlier about her feelings and he says it was really brave of her and he wanted to reassure her that things won't change between the two of them. Hmm. Which is basically him saying, I don't feel the same way. But it made it seem like he's saying, I just want to be friends and I appreciate what you said, but I don't feel that way. It's the tone that I got. But she can't help but notice that she still thinks that he's looking at her a little bit differently than he used to. Mm-hmm. But the next day is the day they go sledding every year. And typically she always goes with her dad. But since she's on this whole journey, she knows that her dad would prefer to be inside where it's warm. So she tells him, like, Dad, go ahead and go inside. And he's like, but what about our sledding we do every year? She's like, if you're cold, like, you don't have to do it. It's not a big deal. We can break that tradition. And her dad's like, okay, thanks. Like, quickly went inside. And then she realizes that there's two sleds left and there's three people. And it's her, Theo, and Andrew. And she's trying to decide
what's going
to
happen,
who she's going to go with when Andrew puts his hand out and asks if she wants to sled with him.
Oh.
And okay, she accepts. Friends. I know. And Theo just swoops on down the hill. And so...
Bye, Theo. Yeah.
Theo's like, see ya. And so May crawls into Andrew's lap on the sled.
Yeah, she does.
And he puts his arms around her, all snuggly snug. And they take off down the hill. And there's a moment when they're in... It's like, we're there! And there's a moment when they're in the sled. It's like she's turned around in his arm. So they're like face to face, which seems difficult because they are like sledding. But there's a little moment where
it's like that Kanye video, huh?
Where they get on the motorcycle. She's like backwards, like straddling him. Not quite. But they have a moment where they could totally kiss, but they don't. And then they're kind of like awkwardly humping the sled to like get it moving down the hill more. And he's like holding her close as they fly down the hill. And it sounds like a long hill because there's a lot of time for them to think and talk as they sled.
It's like a couple miles long or something.
Yeah. And at one point, Andrew kind of like yells as they're sledding that he thought she was going to kiss him back there. And then he also says that he never knew she was an option for him. He never knew that she might be his.
So that's why he's looking at her differently.
Yeah.
Even though he was like, we can be friends.
Yeah.
Nothing's changed. Okay.
So later that day, May, Andrew, Theo, and her brother Miles are in the basement playing card games. And Andrew starts to play a little footsie under the table. And she's like, ooh. And after games, she takes a nap and Andrew comes to get her after her nap when it's time for dinner. They walk back upstairs and someone points out that they're under the mistletoe. The mistletoe in this family is like no big deal. No matter who you are, you gotta kiss whoever you're with. Doesn't matter if it's like anybody.
I would disagree with that, but okay.
They're just kissing. So everyone's watching is like, yep, you gotta do it. Tradition. Everybody kisses under there. And so Andrew leans in and gives her like the teeniest peck. And even the family's like, that wasn't a kiss.
Come on.
But the spell is kind of broken and someone suggests they play a game called Sardines, which honestly, this game sounded kind of fun. And I can imagine beating the cabin and playing this game. And it's very funny. So basically, one person hides in a small space while everyone else is counting and covering their eyes. And then everyone else has to find that one person. And once you find them, you get into that small space with them.
Oh, that's kind of
like,
fun.
Like sardines.
Yeah.
And the last person to not be packed in there loses. And then they're the...
Okay.
It seemed kind of cute.
That's kind of cute.
I know. So Andrew is the person who goes to hide first. And May just knows him really well. So she has a good guess on where he might be. And one of the rooms in the cabin was the room he stayed at as a child. And so she has like a hunch that he's in the closet of that room. And she's right. She finds him in this small closet in one of the guest rooms. And she goes in there with him and it's just the two of them. And they're talking a little bit. And he eventually goes in for a real kiss, a real smooch. And it's pretty hot. He even like swings her leg over his hip to get a little grinding action in.
Okay.
But then one of the littler kids runs in because he found them. They both have to like put their needs aside.
Not grind on each other. Yeah.
Right. And so after dinner that night, they all play Clue. And then most people just head to bed. But that night, Andrew and May are on dish duty. And Andrew is being super flirty. And I'm here for it. And May is also here for it. He keeps like rubbing his arm alongside hers. And
yeah,
when she
washing
goes,
dishes, really.
Yeah, really sexes it up.
Gets it hot in your pants.
I know. And she goes to put some spices away in the pantry. And he follows her. And the secret closet pantry smooching begins.
Oh.
And they're both just like moaning just from like some light touching. And he starts to touch some boob and they both get all hot and bothered when the pantry light comes on and they break apart quickly and her brother comes in.
Oh no.
And they try to play it off and Andrew's like, oh, we were just looking for this, and points to like a ceramic sombrero. And May's like, yep, just wanted some chips and salsa. But her brother's on to them because it looks like they're just making out. Like, he's old enough to realize. They're all, like, flushed and, like, swollen-lipped. And he's like, oh, just a sombrero? I don't think so.
Okay.
After her brother does, like, leave and go back to bed, Andrew suggests that she come out to the boathouse for some touchy-feely. Oh. And she's like, yes, please. So they get to the boathouse, and he makes, like, this cute little area made of sleeping bags for them to lay in and snuggle up in. So they climb in and just, like, latch onto each other. And he, like, snakes his way down her body in the sleeping bag to take her jeans off, which sounds complicated and difficult, but he does it. And I think he plans on getting, like, frisky with his tongue and her vagina. But he nearly suffocates down there in these, like, thick sleeping bags. And has to, like, crawl up, like, gasping for air. Like, so they just, like, take their time kissing and touching. And eventually, they make some sweet love. It's kind of alluded to. But we know that the entry.
So they don't go
made.
Into detail?
No.
Okay.
No, it was like a slow, it was kind of like The Notebook, where it's like a slow, quiet undressing and then just like a...
It pans out.
Pans out. Yep. The next day, her brother Miles pulls her aside and is like, you two were making out in that pantry, weren't you? And she's just like, yep. Yeah, we were. And he takes a deep breath and is just, he goes, I think Theo's in love with you. He's like, what about Theo? And she's like, no, you're crazy.
And this is coming from Miles?
Yeah.
The kid that doesn't interact?
Yeah, he's like 14.
But he's so insightful. Okay.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the kid. And he's just like, I think Theo misses you, and spend some time with him today if you can. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, it's so sad. But today also happens to be the annual scavenger hunt. So they draw names out of a hat for partners, and she ends up on a team with Theo. So they all make their way in caravanning into town to start their scavenger hunt. And it's a little awkward and tense between her and Theo because she feels weird because in this version of the trip from the first time, he was like licking her face and then brushed her off. So she just has like a more intimate knowledge about him than mm-hmm. he has of her because he does not remember this first time of them making out. But in her previous history, they've been close mm-hmm. and it was bad. And she was mad at him for brushing her off. Mm-hmm. So she's like not sure how to act with him, and he can tell something's off, but he doesn't know what's going on.
Right.
So at one point he pops into a shop to do some last minute Christmas shopping, and she down the street sees Andrew go into a shop. So she's just like, oh, I'll catch up with you in a second. I'm going to go do some shopping too. And she finds Andrew browsing around, and they just start making out in this store, and they're chatting and kissing when they hear someone clear their throat behind them.
Oh no.
And it's Theo. And Theo is just like, May, can I talk to you outside for a minute? And he's like awkwardly laughing. And then he's just like, I feel like you led me on. And I was like, what? And then May is like, what? And she's gets cut off mid-sentence because she's like, how did I ever lead you on? But then a car crash happens. And it's the same car crash that happened to her that started this whole thing and the first time around, uh-huh. except it's a different people are involved in this car crash. So she sees it happen. And then this time she's watching and some shrapnel comes towards them from the car accident. And Theo ducks them out of the way at the last second. Mm-hmm. And she's shaking because she knows this was a warning. Like she's taken a wrong turn somewhere. And that was a warning to get back on track. Like she's starting to make wrong decisions again.
Okay.
So I think this was like a scare tactic from the universe.
What was the wrong decision though?
I don't know.
Maybe a warning like don't go down that path with Theo?
Maybe. I don't know. But now the whole family's in town yeah. and everybody sees this car crash happen. So there's like a ton of commotion going on. Everyone is scared. Theo's acting weird. Andrew kisses her on the head when she's like, make sure she's okay. Mm-hmm. And someone's like, what's up with Theo and Andrew and May? Like, what's going on? Mm-hmm. Theo's just like, oh, Andrew and May are hooking up now. Just announces it.
What a dick.
And everyone falls silent. And Theo just walks away. Mm-hmm. Like he's angry. And May calls after him, but he just keeps walking. And she goes to follow him, to chase after him. But once she takes a step, the awning that was right over her falls, like breaks off.
Wow.
So like if she hadn't moved, if she was still standing there, she would have been crushed, squished like a bug from this awning. Which is like another sign, the universe, you're making some wrong choices, girl.
Okay.
That was another warning. And at this point, she starts to have like a full-blown meltdown. She's yelling just like scattered thoughts. So Benny does know about her time travel thing going on. Mm-hmm. And he steps up and just says that May's having some sort of Groundhog's Day. And she keeps reliving the Christmas cabin week. So they tell the family. And everyone's just kind of staring at her as she confesses all of this. Uh-huh. Clearly not believing her and... but more just like concerned about her. She sounds like she's losing it.
Right.
And she feels like she is too. She's frustrated. She's not sure what the right answers are. And May ends up just running away. And Benny's like, give her some space. She needs some time. Mm-hmm. So a little bit later, Benny goes to check on her and convinces her to come back to the cabin. People are worried. And so when they arrive back at the house, she goes to find Andrew in the boathouse first. And he's happy to see her. He's been worried about her. And she wants to tell him everything. But before she can get the words out, he just goes down on her. And then they have just more like sleeping bag sex.
Wait a minute. Andrew's there when Theo calls them out, right?
Yeah.
And what's his reaction?
He's shocked, but worried.
Okay.
So I think he was like happy that she's alive and back. So he just like makes some sweet love.
Way to comfort her.
Yeah. So after the bang, he tells her that he's loved her his whole life.
What?
Yeah.
Why didn't he mention that before when she mentioned?
I think it's because he didn't know that she was an option. So once that door was like open in his mind, he like was able to feel these things again, is what I think it was.
Okay.
Go with me here.
I have no choice. Okay.
But she tells him that, like, she's scared of this because she just, like, can't imagine a reality where it works out between the two of them. Like, she just keeps going back to the start, and she's just not sure how this is ever going to work. And so she starts to tell him about, like, her Groundhog Day stuff that's going on with her. And she tells him that on the last night they were here, in her version of the first trip,
She tells him
she made out with his brother, Theo.
Oh, my gosh.
So she tells him she did it mostly because she was sad that her and Andrew, like, weren't ever going to be a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And she was sad about her life and where she was at. She says, like, she just keeps getting sent back to redo this same week. But this time around, the one that he's in with her, this was the version she was just like, fuck it. Like, this is what I'm going to do.
Right.
And do what I want. And now Andrew is in shock. And I think he has the appropriate reaction. He's like, which May is the real you? Is it the one who goes for what she wants? Or is it the one who makes out with my brother because she's afraid of facing her feelings and then wishes it all away? He's mm-hmm. like, who are you? I like this version, but this isn't the real you. The real you kissed my brother the first time. What do you think?
I just think that if a guy told me that he's basically time traveling, I would be running for the door. Like, none of this would even be an issue because I'd be like, well, clearly you're crazy. And I would be gone.
He does, like, kind of believe her, though.
Of course he does.
But she tries to tell him that, like, this is her now. Like, this mm-hmm. is the real her. She wants him. But he's just kind of checked out on the whole thing. Mm. He can't even process all of this. And I don't really blame him. Mm. This is a lot of information.
Right.
And then this is the worst part for me. She has to, like, awkwardly get dressed because they're still naked from their they just had. So she
they have this whole conversation naked
in a sleeping bag. And so she has to, like, awkwardly put her clothes back on. And he just walks her back to the main house.
Wow.
And so the next day, it's still just quiet and weird. And there's clearly an elephant in the room that nobody's addressed, which is the fact that she's time traveling.
Mm-hmm.
The family
kind
knows.
Of a deal. Yeah.
But nobody's brought it up. And Andrew and Theo both keep their distance from her. So the whole...
Crazy girl.
The whole thing is just weird. That night, they go to Christmas Eve Mass. And she's sitting in church thinking about all the events that have...
I have to say this. Their itinerary is just packed.
It is jam-packed.
Like, there is no downtime just Mm-mm. to, like, chill and read a book.
No. No, they're like, sardines! Snow animals, sledding,
scavenger hunt, like, oh
Christmas
my gosh,
tree shop. Like,
and then
lot.
Your vacation's over.
It's a busy week.
Wow.
So they're at Christmas Eve Mass. And she's just thinking about all the events that have led her here. And she realizes that the only expectations she needs to live up to are her own.
Right.
And when she thought it didn't matter, when she thought no one would remember her decisions, she started living authentically into what she really wanted out of life.
Mm-hmm.
She quit her job. She was honest with Andrew. And she just went after what she wanted without fear.
Mm-hmm.
And now she feels like her head has been cleared. She's like, I think this was what the universe was trying to get me to. I think she was living in a very guarded way.
Right.
Very safe way before. So her brother Miles finds her later to make sure she's doing okay.
Mm-hmm.
And he also mentions that Theo wishes... I guess Theo had told Miles, he's like, I wish I wouldn't have, like, gone off on her that way.
Right.
And walked away. So later that day, she gets an idea because she still thinks that one of her missions in this whole thing is to save the cabin. And she remembers that Benny had casually mentioned to her earlier that he had bought stock in Spotify mm-hmm. really early. So now he's, like, secretly super rich. And her idea is to have him co-sign a loan so she can buy the cabin, maybe just fix it up and mm-hmm. no one has to lose it. But when she goes to tell Benny that, he actually tells her he's already put an offer on the house to Andrew and Theo's parents. So basically on her first time at the cabin, nobody found out until the last day that it was going to be sold. But she had told Benny on her first day of this version that that was what the end game was going to be, that they were going to sell the cabin. He's just been thinking on it all week and decided to buy it. He's had the time to process it and think about it.
Mm-hmm.
And she's just so happy and jump hugs him. Like, the cabin is saved.
So technically that could have happened in the first round.
If they had announced at the beginning of the trip, like, this is our last
or
Christmas year.
Or he went home and thought about it and then decided to put in an offer.
Okay. You're losing the Christmas magic over there. Okay, this is magic happening. You big doubter. So a bit later, she eventually sits down with Theo to talk things out. And he tells her he's okay. He just needed time to process things. And she realizes that he's always been this way. And she also realizes that he was probably doing that exact thing the first time around that mm-hmm. morning after they made out, just, like, processing everything in his own time.
By being a dick?
The good news is they totally clear the air. It's interesting because I felt like we were leading to a point where Theo was going to confess his feelings for her, but he doesn't. And they're just like good, like friends.
Uh-huh.
And then he also asks her, like, if she's going to try to get his brother back. And she says, yeah, she's not giving up on
him. Wait, what? Oh, wait. Okay. I guess I'm confused then.
Okay.
Because I thought when he caught her and Andrew.
Yeah.
And then he was like, you've been leading me on. Yeah. That implies
that he was like, there was feelings somewhere, there,
right?
Yeah, I thought so. I thought we were going to get to a point where Theo was like throwing his
like, oh, I've always liked you or something. Yeah.
He doesn't.
Hmm. Okay.
They explain it just with him needing time to process. But okay. He doesn't ever actually have feelings for her.
Okay.
I think he just missed their friendship bond. They used to be very, very close as kids.
Right.
And as they got older, they kind of drifted apart, as you do when you get older and you change.
Mm-hmm.
I think he just missed that closeness. Not that he was in love with her. Go with me.
Yep.
Later that day, this sounds like a long day, May makes her way to the boathouse to see Andrew and knocks on the door, and she walks in and sees his bags are packed, that he plans to leave tonight, which would be a day early. And she tells him that she's a gift for him. And then she just tells him everything. And I feel like I can't fully say like how powerful her message was, but like she was really, really honest with him and open with him about how she felt. And then she gives him this gift and he opens it. She drew him something. It's a drawing of the two of them in their 80s, sitting on a bench, laughing together. And she drew it in pencil. So she's like, nothing set in stone. This is like just a possibility for us. Like this could be us when we're old. And then she leaves him with that.
Go on.
Okay. So she spends the next hour or so just kind of like walking out in the cold, just like thinking. And she realizes that she's proud of herself for going after what she wants, putting herself out there.
Uh-huh.
And when she goes back inside the house, her whole family's acting weird. And she's like, okay, I'm just gonna head down to the basement, weirdos.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, no, I think you should go upstairs. And then she sees that there's a Hershey Kiss trail leading up the stairs. That's her favorite candy. And she follows it and finds Andrew in the closet where they first kissed, like 2 days ago.
Uh-huh.
And he tells her that he loves her.
Oh.
And that this is just the beginning for them.
Huh.
And she's like, 13-year-old me is doing the running man up here in my head. Like, she is super excited that this is, like, finally happening. And then they smoochy and are in love. We have the epilogue, which is 6 months later. Andrew and May go back to the cabin to visit. Benny has been recovering. renovating. Benny has been renovating the cabin and it looks great. He's made so many good improvements. And Andrew tells May that they should go check out the boathouse, except now it looks like an adorable log cabin. And May is just shocked. It looks so beautiful. And he takes her inside and there's pictures of them everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And when she turns around, he's down on one knee, proposing.
Mm-hmm.
When they go back into the house, the whole family is there. Surprise. Waiting, excited.
Yay.
Ready to plan a wedding. And that's the end.
Okay.
So you didn't read the whole thing. So how did you like it with me telling it?
So I always think you're a good storyteller. So I was excited because I only read up to the point where she had her first time travel moment.
Yeah.
So I was like, ooh, what's going to happen? So yeah, I mean, it was interesting to hear it as a story.
I felt like I got into it after I got past the first 100 pages. I felt like, I guess my biggest thing was it didn't feel like a romance to me.
Mm-hmm.
It felt like just fiction, time travel, drama. It felt heavier.
With a little side of romance.
With a little, yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. So after the first 100 pages, I felt like we were in the main part of the book. I think that if she would have time traveled even one more time, I would have been out. Yeah. I was like ready to settle in and figure out how it was going to end.
Because even the reader has to almost reset every time she goes
right.
back.
So I was like, man, like I hope she's going to live this one out.
Right.
And she did. So that was good. So after that, we were like in her main time travel life.
Mm-hmm.
And I got into it a little bit more.
But they don't offer any explanation, right? As far as the time traveling?
No, it's just like Christmas magic.
Okay. Okay.
She doesn't ever go back to her first real version where she kissed Theo.
Mm-hmm.
That's like, it never happened.
Okay.
She just goes on to live the last one.
Okay.
It was different.
Yeah.
I didn't love it.
Uh-huh.
But you know, I also don't like the whole science fiction
right.
thing. It's not really for me. So this was a little bit outside of my box anyways.
Mm-hmm.
But I like Christina Loren. I like most of their books.
I mean, I think it's always good that an author kind of dares to do something different.
Yeah.
And probably time travel would be
really out of their box. So that's good. I mean, for trying something new.
Yeah.
Okay.
But that was the book. Next week, we're doing A Right Christmas by K.A. Lind. And we hope you enjoyed this week's episode.
Don't forget to follow us on Instagram and subscribe to our podcast.
Thanks for listening.
Bye.